Joshua chapter 1, verse number 4. If you brought your Bibles, that's where we're going to start. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 4. And we're going to read a few verses here. We're going to go to verse number 9. I'll give you just a few moments to get there, get ready. Sometimes I can go through verses so quickly and I don't give people the opportunity to turn in their own Bibles and get the word for themselves. But how many of you know that you need to get the word for yourself? Amen. So that when you face the issues of life and I can't be there, you don't need me there because you got God's word in your Bible, you got God's word in your heart, and you got God's word ready to go when you need it to go. Can I get an amen up in this place? All right, so we're going to make sure you get these, and I'm going to burn through quite a few of them in as we go. But here in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 4, God is speaking to Joshua, and he says this. He says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Is anybody out there encouraged to know that God is interested in you being prosperous and you having good success? And then he goes on and says, have I not commanded you be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever that you go. Tonight I want to preach a message called Speak the Word, Receive the Promise. Speak the Word, Receive the Promise. What's going on right here? God is essentially having what I heard somebody reference not too long ago, and I just liked it so much. I'm familiar with the story, and it just seemed to be so fitting to me. God is essentially having a halftime talk with Joshua. Anybody here feel like you ever needed a halftime in life? Like, I need a timeout. I need a break. I need to go to the sideline. I need to get some water. I need to get some refreshment. I need to get some rest before I engage one more time in the battle that I'm facing. And so God is having this halftime talk. And kind of the reason why I call it a halftime talk is because this promise that God is referencing here is one that started long before Joshua. See, God had a promise for the children of Israel. And the promise was that, you know what, I've got this land that I want you to inherit. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And actually that promise started way back with a man by the name of Abraham. And so many years have gone by now, and the nation of Israel finds themselves enslaved to the nation of Egypt. And God calls this man by the name of Moses. He says, Moses, you know what? I got a plan for your life, and I got something that I need you to accomplish. And I need you to go to the most powerful nation on earth. And I need you to declare my word, and I need you to deliver these people, Israel, out from Egyptian slavery. And so, make a long story short, Moses obeys, and he goes to Egypt, and God, through Moses, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, delivers the nation of Israel from Egyptian slavery. Where do they go from there? They go, they meet up with God, and then from there, they begin heading to this place that had been promised long ago, this promised land flowing with milk and honey. Now, tonight, I wonder how, just wonderful that kind of news sounded to a group of people that had been in slavery 400 years. I mean, come on, these guys are, their backs are split open. I mean, they're facing, ugly taskmasters, laws. They're living in slums. They've got, trash to eat. And all of a sudden, God comes along and says, hey, I've got this promise for you. And this promise is a land, not of slums, not of hardship, but a land flowing with milk and honey, something that you can call your own. And so I'm sure that at this kind of news, they were, you know, just completely overwhelmed, overtaken, overjoyed, celebratory, you know, just ready to inherit what God has for them. And so they show up to the border of the promised land, right? And Moses is, all right, let's get 12 spies and let's have them go into this promised land and let's have them check it out. And so the 12 spies go in, they spy it out, they come back, and well, 10 of the 12 bring back a negative report. And they're like, you know what, this is a bad idea, guys. This is not looking so good. You see, in this land, this promised land that God is going to give us or says that he's going to give us, there's giants here. And these are like some fierce people, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And look, if you're gonna go, if you think we're gonna go in there and do this, like this is not gonna be good. It's gonna be trouble. We're gonna die at their hands. And then there was two spies who came back with a good report and said, "Hey, listen, guys, this is God's promise. Come on, somebody, this is God's promise. God said that he would be with us. God said that he would help us to overcome. Hey, look, I know that there's some giants in the land, and we may be grasshoppers in their sight, but I got some good news for you, and I feel like T.D. Jakes might have taken over Joshua and Caleb in a moment, and we might look like grasshoppers in their sight, but you know what? The giants are like grasshoppers in God's sight, so come on, get your faith, get your heart ready, and let's go into this promised land, and let's do this." But because the 10 spies brought back a negative report, essentially they discouraged Israel, and Israel drew back and was like, "We're not going to go in there. We don't want to do this. You know, this is just not going to work." So God says, "All right, fine. If you don't want to take me at my word, if you don't want to inherit my promise, if you don't want to live by faith, well, then you can have the desert for the next 40 years. And so that's what happened. They wandered the next 40 years in the desert until that generation died off, and God had a generation who was ready to take God at his word, believe his promise, and live by faith. I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want to be the generation who stumbles at the promises of God. I want to be the generation that says yes to what God has in store for my life. I want to be the man that's faithful and faith-filled and ready to go, that strong and courageous person that lays hold of what God has for me. I don't want to live my life and look back and be like, "Man, I missed out." I don't want to get to heaven and God be like, instead of "Well done," "Well, I guess you made it. Good job. I could have done all this other stuff with your life. You could have experienced all these other things, but hey, at least you made it." No, I want to be the faith-filled generation that receives what God has. How about you? Thank you for those amens in the house. And so we're talking about tonight speaking God's word in order to receive the promise. I wonder how many people tonight have received a promise from God. I wonder how many people in the house tonight God has spoken to your heart and God says, "Hey, listen, I've got some good things in store for you." I don't know tonight what those specifics are, but I believe that God speaks to his children. I believe that God gives his children, come on, words. I believe God gives his children dreams. I believe God gives his children hopes. Come on, we just talked about it already. I believe God is speaking. And today, if you had an ear to hear, I know that you've heard, and I know that God's given you specifics. And I know that God has called you to some great things. God's called some of y'all, that's right, to get married. Somebody fell out in the spirit right now. Ah! God's called some of y'all to go to college. You may be the first person in your family to ever, you know, endeavor to achieve such a thing. But God has called you, and God has called you to be successful. And God has called you to go ahead and blaze the trail so that your children and your children's children can follow in your footsteps and be blessed. God's called some of y'all in this place to the ministry. Amen. God's called you to be a mouthpiece for Jesus Christ. God's called some of you, and God said, "Hey, listen, if you'll open up your mouth when I tell you to, your family and your friends, in fact, everybody you come in contact with is going to meet up with me, and there's going to be salvation, and there's going to be healing, and there's going to be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit." God's given us promises. He has. And if you feel like today you don't have any promises, open up your Bible and find some. Come on, somebody, we got a more sure word of prophecy, and it's right here. And all you have to do is go to the word of God to find out what God has in store for your life. And if you'll read it and you'll say, "God, I see that, I believe it, and I receive it," it's going to be yours. Now, here's what I need to say to you, though. With all the wonderful promises that God has given, sometimes we come to an erroneous conclusion regarding them, and then what ends up happening is we miss out on the promise that God wanted us to inherit. And we think that because God said something, that God spoke something, or even that week because we read it in the Bible, that it's just going to automatically happen in our lives. It's just going to plop. We can just sit here and don't have to do nothing. God said it. It's God's promise. So I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to wait till it plops down in my lap. Listen, can I help some people in the house tonight? That's not how it works. You're going to have to do something about God's promises if you want to inherit them. There's going to be a fight. How many realize today the devil don't want you to inherit God's promises? He's going to do everything that he can to make sure that you don't. There's a fight ahead. God's promises must be seized. You have to apprehend them. You know what it means to apprehend someone or something. You're going to have to, come on somebody, lay hold of what it is that God has for you, and you're going to have to take it. Come on, tonight, look at your neighbor and say, take that promise. That's right. I heard some radical, fanatical people right here on the second row. I like y'all right here because they were like, take that promise. They did even better than I did. You know, I can look back and I can think of couples who have said, you know what, man, God spoke to me and God spoke to her and we found one another and we in love and we gonna get married. And this is gonna be good. Hallelujah. So what do? They get engaged. They show up to the altar. They say, you know, they pledge their lives and their love and their faith and their hope and their whole everything to one another from now until death do us part or now until eternity, some, you know, whatever they say, right? And then just a few months later, they find themselves in the pastor's office. I don't like that she, look, I'm not here to pick on anybody's weaknesses, okay? Because we've all been there, including myself. Me and my wife have fought over some stupid things. Amen. And anyway, and we're all learning and growing. Now, I was going to blame myself, not her. But like, I remember this one time I called her up on the phone. I was just ready to get so mad because I couldn't find my comb. I just knew that she lost it. I just know that you took it because you don't like me. And yeah, why you do, you know, and so she answered the phone and she happened to have a coworker in the car and she's like, hi, babe, I'm out with so-and-so. I'm like, oh, hi. But I remember I had this couple come into my office and they're having some issues and they're like, you know, she burps too much. So they find themselves in the pastor's office and their marriage is on the rocks. Their marriage is suffering because they thought that because God spoke to them, and I'm here to tell you today, God will speak to you about the person you're going to marry. Come on, somebody clap for the person, singular, that you're going to marry. Okay? God will speak to you, but just because God speaks to you doesn't mean that you're automatically going to have a happily ever after. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to speak some things. Do you see what I'm saying? That just because God gives you a promise doesn't mean it's going to just happen on its own. You're going to have to lay hold of it. You're going to have to seize it. You're going to have to apprehend it by faith. It's not going to happen automatically. Then on the other hand, we have a group of people who, you know what, they trust in their own power, their own wisdom, their education, their logic, their thoughts, and their human ability. And they think that, you know what, I can decide for myself what God's will is for my life. Now, nobody would actually say it that way, but when we live lives in such a way that we're not in prayer, we're not asking God, what do you have for me? God, I need you to show me. God, the Bible says that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, so I need to know what the next step is. Then really what we're saying is, you know what? I'm capable in and of myself to figure out and decide what God's plan is for my life. And what I want to say before we really get into this is that, you know what? We're talking about receiving God's promise, not the promise you think God is giving to you. See, this promise of inheriting the promised land was not an invention of Joshua's. I actually wrote down on my notes, it wasn't a concoction. I like that word, concoction. It gives me this picture of this, like, you know, just jimmy-rigged ordeal put together. And that's really what our lives are like when we don't seek God and we don't ask God for the direction that he has for our lives. Some of y'all, you would benefit just by getting down on your knees and saying, God, is this the person you want me to date? Is this the college you want me to go? God, is this the major you want me to take? It might save you a whole lot of time before you do your whole three and a half years. I don't think I want to do this no more. Now, in case you've been there, there's no guilt. I'm not saying that you didn't do your part or anything like that. God is faithful. But what I am trying to help you all do is find out God's plan, God's purpose, and pursue that in your life. Don't try to figure it out on your own. And then these people, not only do they think sometimes that, you know, they can figure out God's plan for their life without seeking God, but they also think that they are sufficient in and of themselves to make it happen. I have the sufficiency. I have the resource. I am amazing. And what I also need you to see in this story is that, yes, Joshua, the role that he had to play to lay hold of God's promise was that Joshua was going to actually have to go into the promised land and drive out these giants and drive out these people who would be opposed to him. But what I also need you to see is while Joshua played his part, the Bible, or God is the one who said, I'm the one who's going to be with you. I'm the one that's going to make it happen. I'm going to be your source. I'm going to be your strength. Come on, somebody. The psalmist said, you are my portion forever. I love so much the words of God to Abraham. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Come on. You don't need to try to be your own shield. You don't need to try to be your own portion, your own source. You need to let God be the source of your joy and the source of your strength. Come on, somebody. And the source of your hope and the source of your life. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching real good right now. The source of your everything. I'm reminded of another Old Testament verse, and it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's how it's going to get done. So what have we said so far? We're saying, hey, you have a promise. God has promises for you. You can't sit back and just expect them to happen on their own. They're not going to happen on their own. You have to do something about it. You have to play your role. You have to play your role of faith to seize them. But while you play your role, make sure that you've got God's promise, not your own. And then once you've got God's promise, make sure that you're relying on him for the resource to get the job done. Is anybody listening today? All right, three people. So, with those things in mind, I want to talk to you about speaking the word of God. Speaking. Speak the word, receive the promise. Speak the word, receive the promise. Speak the word, receive. Everybody look at your neighbor, help me out today. Say, speak the word, receive the promise. Look at your other neighbor today. Say, speak the word, receive the promise. Receive the promise, yeah. Speak the word and receive. Oh, sorry. I got carried away just a little bit today. Speak the word, receive the promise. God is saying, Joshua, he showed up now for the second time to this border of desert and promised land. Show him now for the second time, and God is taking some time here in Joshua 1 to encourage Joshua, but then also to give him some instruction on how to go about laying hold of God's promise. And here in verse number 8, if I could read it to you one more time, God says this. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thank you. Thank you, Derek. I appreciate your help today, your enthusiasm. God bless you. But you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Can I read this verse to you out of the HCSB? That would be the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That's right. The HCSB, it actually exists, believe it or not. And this is what it says. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night. Ooh, I feel challenged already. Day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. How many of you like that? Prospering and succeeding in whatever that you do. Notice here what God tells Joshua. All right, you're going to have to play a role. We've talked about that already. Joshua, I want to encourage you. I need you to understand some things. And one of those things is I need you to use that thing on the front of your face the right way. I need you to speak the right things. I need to make sure that you are set up for success. And the way I'm going to do that is by addressing your mouth. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, your mouth. That's right. Evidently, Joshua's mouth was going to play a role in him laying hold of God's promise. And somehow over the courses of time, we've failed to realize the power of our mouths and the power of the tongue and the power of speaking. I wonder how many of us today have made a mess with a mouth. Don't raise your hand today because I'm pretty sure that would be everybody in the house, including myself. And then if you didn't raise your hand, I would judge you. And then I'd have to go repent later. No, I'm just kidding. But I think the honest truth is, you know what? We've all been there where our mouth has gotten us in trouble and our mouth has made a mess. How many of us have lost relationships because of the things that we said? How many of us have even lost relationships because of the things that we didn't say? How many, I wonder, promotions have and opportunities have come your way, but you've missed them because of your mouth? I wonder how many of us have embittered our own hearts and set ourselves up for failure and we've quit and we've given up and we've thrown in the towel too soon because of the words of our mouth and the conversations that we've chosen to engage in. Hey, listen, it is absolutely wrong for us to think that we can go about life and talk however we want to talk and still expect to arrive at the destiny that God has for us. It just doesn't work that way. Neither can you receive God's promises talking however it is that you want to talk. If you want to be blessed in life, if you want to have God's promises, if you want to arrive at the destiny God has for you, you're going to have to control your mouth. And not just control it, but you're going to have to learn how to use it as the tool that God intended for it to be. Is anybody here today? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10. We're just going to go through this real quick. He says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him make sure that he doesn't have sex outside of marriage, he doesn't do any drugs, he doesn't drink or commit any serious crimes. Did I read that wrong? It says, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Come on, somebody. Today, your blessing is in your mouth. Come on. Your breakthrough is in your mouth. God's promise is in your mouth. It's time to start speaking what God would have you to speak so you can start receiving God's promises instead of setting yourself up for hardship. What has happened to the church, by the way? Over the course of time, somehow we've gotten afraid of messages that have to do with our mouths. Now today, let me say one other thing before I move on here. That, you know what, this is not just about controlling your mouth. God just spoke to me, sister. I gotta stop cussing. Absolutely, you need to stop cussing. But then don't just stop cussing. Start speaking the word. Start speaking God's word. That's what we're talking tonight about. We're talking about speaking the word of God. And somehow Christendom has gotten afraid of messages that have to do with speaking the word. Well, I don't know about that name it and claim it bunch. That blab it and grab it, that's a little radical for me. I'm gonna go to another church. And we've gotten afraid of messages that have to do with speaking the word. And I'm here to tell you today that if you'll learn how to speak the word and you'll speak those things into existence that be not, if you'll call those things that do not exist as though they did, just like God, you're going to start finding God's blessing come into your life. I don't care what nobody says. Pastor Joe, how do you know this? I know this because we see in the Bible from the beginning to end the spoken word of God at work. Right? Listen, let me just say one other thing today, because I believe that God is looking for believers to begin to speak the word of God. Because when the spoken word, when the word of God comes running out your mouth, all of a sudden God's power comes flowing into your life and you find yourself going where God would have you to go. And many times in life, we are without the power that God has for us because we're not speaking the word. And this is found from the beginning of the Bible to the very end. In fact, the first time you see the spoken word in operation is in Genesis chapter 1. Who would have thought? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And, you know, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And then the next verse says, And God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. And God said, the spoken word brought light into existence. And God said, let the waters be gathered together and let dry land come forth. And guess what happened? The dry land came forth and let there be plants and there was plants and let there be the beasts of the field. And there was, and God said, let the fish fill the sea, under the sea, come on. And the fish filled the sea and the birds of the air. And God created everything with this spoken word. Amazing. The power of the spoken word. You know, the Bible even says this today because so many of us are, you know, we're so interested in the origin of man and all this kind of stuff. And the Bible tells us that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You know what the Bible also says is that the whole world today is held together by the word of his power. The reason why everything doesn't just spin out and just blow up is because God's holding it all together. Anyway, so we go to the New Testament. I got to hurry. We come to the New Testament, and all of a sudden you see Jesus. And Jesus, he's in a place called Bethany, and he's staying there, and that's where his resting place is with his disciples. And early one morning, they decide to get up and head to Jerusalem. And so just like every one of us in the morning, maybe that's not everybody, but you know, oftentimes we're hungry in the morning. We need some breakfast, right? The doctors tell us that's the most important meal of the day. And so Jesus is hungry, the Bible says. So he sees a fig tree afar off, and he draws near the fig tree, only to find that there's no figs on the tree. What? How does this work? I created this thing, and it's supposed to be having some figs on it, and there's no figs on it. So Jesus says to the fig tree, notice what I said. Jesus said to the fig tree, you don't want to bear fruit? Let no one eat fruit of you ever again. How many of you think that he had the disciples' attention when he said that? I would think so, especially considering the things that Jesus did. Like Jesus talking to the tree now. Let's watch this. So they move on from there. They go to Jerusalem, and Jesus ministers and into the evening. And then, of course, you got to go back and rest. So they go back from Jerusalem back to Bethany, stay the night at their resting place. And the next morning comes again, and they head out again to Jerusalem for another day of ministry. And all of a sudden, in Mark chapter 11, Peter shouts and he's like, Master, the tree that you cursed, it's withered away. It's gone. Done. Over. The spoken word of God. The power of the spoken word. And you say, well, time out, Pastor Joe, because I'm a little bit smarter than this. Because see, the examples you're using, they're really cool stories, and they're just really amazing, all that kind of stuff. But but see, that's God. And God can do whatever he wants. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. God can speak and create planets. I can't do that. Jesus can speak and curse fig trees, and they die, but I can't do that. Actually, you're greatly mistaken. Because once Peter said to Jesus, hey, Master, the tree that you cursed is withered. Do you know what Jesus turned around and said to him? Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. Hurry up, hurry, because we got to hurry. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. Hurry up, hurry, hurry. We got to hurry because I got 5 pages of notes and I'm barely on page number 2. So we got to hurry. All right? Now I promise we're going to get through this, I hope. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly, this is a sure thing. Make no mistake about it. This is for real, y'all. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever, question, are you a whoever? Yes, everybody in here is a whoever. Whoever means whoever. Whoever means anybody. Whoever means everybody. As long as you fit the description. Right? Whoever says to this mountain. Now, lots of Bible scholars have talked a lot about this, and many of them believe that Jesus was literally pointing to a literal mountain. He didn't say whoever speaks to a mountain. He said whoever speaks to this mountain. Whoever speaks to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Whoever means whoever. Means anybody, means everybody. If you will have faith in God and you will speak the word of God, you will see mountains move in your life. You will have whatever that you say. Don't be mad at me. I didn't say it. If I said it, like Pastor Jim said, I'd be collecting the royalties on this mug because this has been around. You understand. Jesus said that. Either we are going to believe Jesus or not. And if we're going to believe Jesus, that means that we need to do what he's telling us to do. And that is to speak. So point number one today, we're going to do this real quick. You need to speak the word. Speak the word. Okay? Speak the word. We're talking about speaking. You need to speak so that you can receive God's promise. He told Joshua, if you're going to inherit this promised land, you need to make sure that you're using your mouth the right way and that you're speaking the word. Notice one more time what he says here. He says, verse number 8, Joshua chapter 1, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So maybe I'm beating a dead horse a little bit here, but what I need you to understand today is we're not talking about speaking positive things. We're not talking about making sure that you are speaking good things, that you are speaking nice things. Don't get me wrong. I think positive things, good things, nice things, if you're saying those things, those are going to help in life, but not nearly as much as speaking the word of God in your life. God's specific instructions to Joshua was, I need you to speak the word, this book of the law. Joshua didn't have the same Bible we have today, obviously, because it hadn't been written yet. And so, but he did have the writings that Moses passed on. And God wanted him to speak those things that were written, recite those things as we read. And you and I need to do the same thing. We need to speak the word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, just pop it up real quick because we're running out of time. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What did we just read? We just read that the word of God is living and powerful. The word of God is full of life and full of power. If you need life and you need power in your life, it's time to speak the word. Not just speak positively, not just speak nice things, not just speak good things. That's all fun and dandy, but you've got to speak the word. Anybody in here believe in memorizing scripture? I do. And you should too. Memorizing scripture because the word is full of power. It's full of life. Proverbs even tells us that the word of God is like medicine to our bodies. Hey, listen today, some of y'all, you got asthma in here and you got some warts on your fingers and different things like that. Those will drive and go away as you begin to speak God's word. Because it's full of life and it's full of power and it's medicine to our mortal bodies. That's the word of God. So it's time to speak it. Number two today, we need to speak to our mountain. Speak to your mountain. We're speaking the word, and then we're speaking to our mountain. That's what Jesus said. One more time. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever that he says. Whatever he says. Now, for me, mountains, when Jesus says, speak to this mountain, that is represented. Now, listen, if God wants you to move a literal mountain, it's going to move. Okay? I need you to believe this. But I also need you to understand that I believe that what Jesus was saying is also symbolic. And for me, mountains speak of things that obstruct me from receiving God's promises. Things that get in my way. We just read in Joshua, and I don't have time to go back there because we're totally out of time. But he said, hey, God says, hey, Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He didn't say no man would try. The fact that he's saying that, it implies that people were going to try. stand before you. Actually, if you look that up in Hebrew, it talks about putting something in a stationary position in front of someone in order to block them. And some of you guys, you've been coming up against these walls and you've been coming up against these mountains and these things that are trying to block you from your forward progress in the Lord Jesus Christ, the promises that God has spoken to your life. And it's time that you begin to speak to those mountains and tell them to move. Okay. And so for me, mountains speak of obstructions. Let me see if I can give you an example tonight. I believe in speaking to the devil. Now, let's be clear. I don't mean having conversations with him. If you're having conversations with him, we got a prayer team. Brad is right here. He's got his hand raised. He's gonna pray for you. I'll let him deal with that because I want to talk. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not afraid of that. But you understand. I'm not talking about having. I'm talking about speaking to the devil and telling him where to go. I believe in speaking to the devil and telling him, get out my life, get out my mind, get out my home, get out my marriage, get off my boss's back, devil. In the name of Jesus. Speaking to the mountain. I believe in speaking to the devil. You know the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 11, and they overcame him, speaking of the devil, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto death. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit excited up in here. Because my Bible says that when I speak to the devil and I tell him where to go, he's got to listen and he's got to go. And all of a sudden I'm going to find freedom in my life. Speak to the mountains. Today I believe in speaking to sickness and disease. You see a centurion come to Jesus and say, Jesus, if you'll just speak the word only, my servant will be made well. So what did Jesus say? Hey, let it be unto you according to your faith. And his servant was made well that hour. It's so cool. You can actually look it up on YouTube. Brother Hagin. It's called Hagin, True Man of God is how they titled it, whatever. Some Hagin worshiper, I suppose. But if you type it in, you can watch a video and Brother Hagin, by the Spirit of God, calls up individuals whose legs are uneven. One is shorter than the other. And he has them sit down in a chair, and Brother Hagin calls up a doctor. He asks for a lawyer. There's no lawyer there. So he called up a businessman, called up a pastor. He said, what? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So I just want some witnesses up in here to speak the word and so that, you know, everybody knows that this was going on. So he has them sit down in the chair. And he pulls up their feet, and he shows right there on the camera. See, this one is shorter than the other one. Now, it's a little bit old school, the camera and the what they had back in the 50s or whatever, whenever it was. But, okay? And so he says, all right, so we're going to pray for this. He's holding these people's legs, and he says, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command. Did you hear those words? Father, in the name of Jesus. We're doing this in the name. We're not just doing this because we want to feel good about ourselves. We're doing this because this is authority that God has given us. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before he could even finish the sentence, all of a sudden you see these legs go. Brr. I just watched it today just to watch it again. I'm sitting there in front of my computer like crying. Like, because God is so good. I believe in speaking to sickness and disease. And some of y'all, you need to take... You need to speak to the things that have been attacking you. You need to tell them to get out because they have no place. Because you've been bought and paid for with a price. And that being the precious blood of Jesus. And through his brokenness, I receive wholeness. I believe in speaking to the devil. I believe in speaking to adverse circumstances. We see Jesus one time get up in the boat and he rebukes the storm. And the Bible says that the wind ceases, the waves stop. And the disciples look around, they're like, oh my God, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? I believe that, you know what, if you got a, you know, we got fires here in Southern California. You find your home or your friend's home or your family member's home or, you know, in danger of being burned. I believe you can speak to that fire and tell it, you're not going to touch that house in Jesus' name. You know what's going to happen? The fire is going to burn everything else and it's going to go right around the house and keep on going. You don't have to believe it, but I do. Jesus did it and he set the example. Now, I don't believe in going out there and be like, snow in Jesus' name in Southern California. Not going to happen, y'all. Now, let me say this before we move on, okay? Jesus commanded us to speak to mountains. And the way Jesus spoke to mountains and to obstacles was different than the way he spoke to people. So I don't need you going around commanding in Jesus' name your neighbor to shut their mouth. In the name of Jesus, shut up. It's not going to work. in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. It's not good. You can't approach people this way. So I hope you understand what we're talking about today. We're speaking to our mountains, and guess what? They are going to move in the name of Jesus. Finally today, speak to yourself. I believe in speaking to myself. That's right. Either you can speak to yourself and let other people think that you're crazy, or not speak to yourself and go crazy. Either you can speak to yourself and let other people think that you're crazy, or not speak to yourself and go crazy. I stole that from Furtick. Anyways, you didn't hear that from me. All right, so speak to yourself. Psalms chapter 42, verse number 11, it says, this is the psalmist talking to himself. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. He's speaking to himself. Listen, guys, you got things talking to you all the time. You got the news talking to you. You got the television talking to you. You got your friends that are haters. They're not friends, they're haters. That's what they are. Talking to you. You've got your own mind. How many of you would admit today, don't raise your hand, but how many of you know today that sometimes your mind can be your worst enemy? Your mind be so quick to call you inadequate. Your mind be so quick to tell you that you don't got what it takes to make it. Your mind be so quick to call you a failure, call you a screw up, call you a mess up. And it's in those times that you need to begin to speak the word to yourself and speak to yourself. Speak the word. In times of inadequacy, you need to say things like, you know what? I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. You know, in my life, I have to admit there have been times where I've been in a place of temptation. Oh, the pastor's in a place of temptation. As if we pastors aren't human. But you know what I said? No. In fact, let me just say this. For some of y'all, that is the most anointed word. No! You just need to say no! What would happen if the next time you were tempted to do whatever it is that you do, that you shouted no? You're going to get everybody else's attention, and then you're really not going to want to do it. You might as well embarrass the flesh before the flesh embarrass you. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching real good. And I stole that from Jesse Duplantis. What? But it's good and it's true. No. But I used to say to myself, I still do, but you know, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Jesus lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm speaking to myself. And you need to learn how to speak to yourself. And you need to learn how to speak God's word over your life. And as you do, as you speak, you will receive God's promises. Hey, listen, I just need to say this before we move on here, before we close, is that, you know what, some of you, you've been a Christian for a long time, and you've gotten to a certain level in your walk with God, and the thing that's holding you back now is you're not speaking God's word, and you need to start speaking God's word. As you'll start speaking God's word to yourself and about yourself, all of a sudden you're going to find yourself begin to climb to the heights that God has called you to in your life. You're going to find yourself blessed. I never thought I could live like this. I never thought I could be like this. It's all because the spoken word is coming out your mouth. And you're connecting with God through the things that you're saying. All right? And then lastly, of course, you know, speaking to yourself. When you're speaking to yourself and you're speaking God's word, it helps keep God's promises and God's word on your mind and in your heart. And this is really the truest rendition, the truest meaning of Joshua chapter 1. I want you to speak it so it stays on your mind so that you do it. How many of you realize today that thought always precedes action? And the reason why some of y'all are tied up in some things is because you got your mind all entangled with that stuff. And if you can begin to renew your mind, like the Bible says, you'll find yourself living the life that God's called you to. But I got drugs on my mind. That's all I can think about. I got porn on my mind. That's all I can think of. And so it's no wonder why you live the life that you do, a defeated life as a Christian. But if you begin to speak God's word and keep God's word on your mind, all of a sudden you'll find yourself walking in the ways of God. So tonight, come on, speak the word, receive the promise. If you got something good from the Lord, give him a great big praise.